gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you today for one day only from Progressive Talk Live, AM 1090 in Seattle. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph. We are in Seattle because we are bringing the Stephanie Miller Unholy Menace, that is the sexy liberal show, to the Moore Theater for two nights only. And today's also a very special day because you're not just stuck with me guest hosting again. We've got Mr. Chris Lavoie, as always, in the L.A. studio.
Hiya!
And joined for the full 3 hours by, how do I set this man up? I mean, I could say that this man's a legend. I could say that this man is the comedian's comedian. I could say that this man has been on everything from Seinfeld to Groundhog Day. I could say that this man has an Emmy Award. But let me just say, this man is Rick Overton. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
By the Emmy Award's actually not Rick Overton's. He stole it from David Feldman's house after a party one night. So, but he has one.
The thing's heavy.
He has an Emmy Award. Good morning, Mr. Overton.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
I can tell you're thrilled to be up at this ungodly hour in L.A., but I thank you for joining us. And as a friend of the show...
Hey, this is the only good traffic hour.
Exactly. That's why I come to work at this time.
Yeah, you bet, man. This is a...
Yeah, no long lines at the bookstore either. Well, that's all the time in LA.
Never. Yeah.
No, that's a great cultural advantage of Los Angeles. No long lines at the bookstore. No long lines for the documentaries and foreign films. No long lines at the museums. Come to L.A. Well, I'm delighted you're here.
But they come out with a new iPhone, you know.
Next week, take a cab.
Oh,
no. I remember I once went to an anti-war protest in Hollywood, but I couldn't even hear the speakers because we didn't have amplification, and there was too much noise from the anti-new face Facebook rally down the block with all the LA people. This is ridiculous, man. I was mad about Darfur, but this is too much change. No, I don't like new Facebook. I want to stay home with my old Facebook by myself alone so I can socialize. Why am I talking this way in L.A.? I don't know. We have a very, very exciting show today, Mr. Overton. I'm very glad that you're going to be adjacent MOOC today with Chris and I and Jim.
MOOC adjacent.
We're going to be joined in this hour by Dean Obadala of CNN.com. We're also going to be joined by Lee Camp, who's going to be talking about the Occupy Wall Street rallies. I was down there this week. Lee has been pretty much living down there. He has a much better activist eye view of the proceeds than I do. Tina Dupuy of CrooksandLiars.com will be joining us. Harris Safar, the official Muslim pal of the Stephanie Miller Show. And comedian Tom Rhodes will be with us for the entire final hour, along with the phoner from TV's Frank Conniff. And if that ain't talent, I don't know what is.
It's a great lineup, man.
We have a lot of funny people coming in today because there's so much comedy to talk about. Chris Christie, I love how people who derisively call Obama the anointed one are now leaning towards their savior. They're actually not leaning towards Christie. He just has his own gravitational field, which is pulling them in.
He's the marinated one.
Chris Christie, those of us who live in the Tri-State area know that Chris Christie will never be president. And the fact that he's actually flirting with it right now is especially funny. His commercials, Obama's campaign commercials, are already done. If Chris Christie decides to run, they've got a year and a half of him saying, I'm not ready to be president. I know I'm not ready to be president. It's just play. They're all set. We're going to be talking about Herman Cain, of course, the other new Republican darling. And he promises to balance your budget or your crazy rent is free. Occupy Wall Street, of course, the Supreme Court, they're sending the Obamacare bill straight to the Supreme Court. The White House and Daley are so confident that this will hold up. Or maybe they're hoping it'll just get struck down and try to pass a public option then. Who knows what their end game is, but we shall see. And Michelle Bachmann, of course, now says that Hezbollah has missiles in Cuba. So there's a lot of intense news to discuss out there. But I want to begin with Occupy Wall Street because I was down there earlier this week. And I think that this could really turn into the sort of protest that people can be proud of. I think if it attracts the right people, the numbers get there, and the message gets focused.
Yes, please,
I mean,
focus
now,
people.
It's a brilliant, I mean, look, the message, they've already got it. I mean, the message as of now is we are protesting corporate greed on Wall Street and the fact that no one went to jail for ripping us off. That should be enough. I think if they go even bigger than that, if they talk about, you know, the regressive tax rates we have, if they talk about the fact that, you know, what the derivatives market is and how those guys are still running the economy, they can bring in some Republicans that way. If they go off on Larry Summers, I mean, there's different things they can do. But as of now, it's still a lot of professional protesters down there. It's a lot of college kids. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And I love their spirit. The problem we have is the media is still kind of skewing this thing as being a hippie
ragtag camping. Bunch of hooligans. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. And, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's taken Mace to get any national attention to this protest. And it's going to continue. And when I was down there, the biggest thing I thought, and I'll be posting some photos on the Sexy Liberal website on Facebook. The biggest thing I thought was just, you know, down here they have like a little kitchen set up and they have a little library where you can borrow books and people are sleeping on the ground and when it's the Tea Party, the Koch brothers have buses with air conditioning that bring in thousands of people. They have Jumbotron screens on the big, huge stages erected for country singers to sing with flag graphics behind them. The left, what do we get? We get body odor and piercing addicts.
Yeah.
And I say this not to be derisive of the protest, but that's all we're seeing on the news.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that the protesters should wear suits and ties. I don't think they should wear suits and ties, but I'm hoping that we'll get some people who do wear suits and ties joining this protest so that we can get something that looks more like America. Because as it is now,
I think it's okay if that's what you actually wear.
Well, yeah, of course.
As you wear it there.
Again, what I'm talking about is the power of the imaging and media.
Exactly.
Because the media is being condescending to this protest. And we on the left have to realize that that's going to be a reality no matter what we do.
I don't think a suit and tie is going to change what the media does. The media is owned by some of the people they're complaining about.
Well, absolutely. The media is, yeah, of course it is. And so are the politicians. What I'm saying is when it starts to expand a bit more, when it starts to look more like America, when it starts to be more reflective, mm-hmm. I mean, you got some Ron Paul guys down there, but they're more like the abolish the Fed guys.
And you got some Lyndon LaRouche people down
the
there.
Lyndon LaRouche
and
people.
You know, everybody has their own thing that they're trying to tie onto this thing.
Exactly. But that's every protest. Name one protest where you don't see that.
The Tea Party.
That's not true.
That was focused. The Tea Party was so laser focused on one thing, and they had some great bumper sticker slogans that easily resonated with, you know, America. Whether you agreed with them or didn't agree with them, you knew what they were talking about.
Yes, but yet still, the Tea Party was a huge umbrella for a million little mini causes, and you would see them all there. Illegal immigration; those folks were there. Don't let the gays marry; those folks were there. I mean, any kind of protest attracts like minds. So at the Occupy Wall Street, you've got the Free Mumia Abu Jamal protesters. You've got the gay marriage protesters. You know, and that's great, and that's community, and that's the only way this thing's going to spread.
As soon as the other people grafted their protests onto the Tea Party, that's when the Tea Party started losing favor and is now less popular than atheists and Muslims in America.
Exactly, because the Tea Party began by the actual Ron Paul guys.
Exactly.
The guys who were disgusted at how the Bush administration was spending money like Courtney Love in Amsterdam.
And that was their laser focus at the time. It lost focus when all these other people grafted their protests onto it. That's the problem I have with Occupy Wall Street right now. People have grafted their own protests onto this one protest. Yeah. There needs to be a laser focus on the one thing.
Here's the good news. Now, a lot of major unions are joining. Airline pilot union joined. Now, NYC Transit Union just joined.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be gargantuan, because once one or two unions join, lots of the others follow suit, and these are infrastructure unions. And when infrastructure starts to get affected, that gets noticed.
That's really true, Rick. And I also want to point something else out, since you're mentioning unions. The cops that I saw down there that were watching the protesters, they're getting along fine. And you saw in the video of I assume you guys have seen the video of the people getting maced by the commanding police officer.
Yeah, I saw that.
The overwhelming majority of cops in that video behaving fine. The cops and the protesters are getting along great, because the cops are union guys too, and a lot of them have to know what's going on with collective bargaining in this country, and they're right. So I have no doubt that many of the cops agree, at least in principle, with what these Wall Street protesters are out there.
I don't think it can hold forever. I think eventually some of the cops are going to start to face the other way. And a lot of retired cops will come in. I think you're going to start to see cops facing cops.
That would be great and inspiring to see. But for the meantime, I do want to stress that what I saw was that the NYPD is protecting these people. They're making way when they go on marches around the square. They are getting along great. They're hanging out. They're talking back and forth. There's a lot of dialogue. And it's not a hostile thing. That's very important to me, because I was terrified by the macing footage. And that was one guy, that Officer Bologna, who also was charged with harassing and roughing up people during the GOP presidential convention back in 2004.
Well, I think the media wants a riot.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it can that makes the protesters look bad, and then it can that sort of after the riot, this whole thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
Riot starts. There's no long protest after a riot. Everyone goes home after the riot, and they can crack down after a riot. You can't crack down on them that much when they're just standing there. That's why this is an endurance game.
You're right. You're very right. And, you know, I hope that they stick it out. I really, really, it's just inspiring to see. And for all the, yeah, it's a lot of hippies and it's a lot of signs and it's, you know, there's the Mumia people and all that. But still, I mean, as this thing grows, I think it's going to get more powerful. I don't think this is going to be a flash in the pan. I think the message will get more focused. You're already seeing more celebrities coming down there. I've heard a lot of reports of seasoned activists coming down there and trying to help out and being rebuffed, which is unfortunate. But I'm really, really keen to see how it goes because people are angry. And you know what? So what if it's not completely focused yet? The fact is, our anger as a people isn't completely focused. Americans are furious, and they don't know who to be mad at. And the race for president all comes down to which party is going to convince people which way to channel their anger.
Yeah, right.
That's the race. Now, Chris had a very good point, Chris. And I want to go to you on this one, Chris, because Chris had a very good point as to why this protest isn't very organized.
And you know what? I should probably tell you that after the break because we need
to
take a break
here. Well, let's have our first break. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-STEF-12. Please call us all day long. And Chris Christie jokes, well, they're going to be coming, kids.
Uh-huh.
This is John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Total chaos. No rehearsal, no program. And don't even get me started on the monkey.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you live from where else? Seattle. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph, and we are broadcasting live from Progressive Talk AM 1090 up here in Seattle. It's a pleasure to be here. And, of course, that's Nirvana, one of the great all-time Seattle bands. Chris Novoselic, who was the bassist for Nirvana, has become quite an activist for the left, and he's published a lot of work as well. And I really tried to get him on the show, and I reached out to him, and I went to some people I know him. I've never met him before. And he and I were exchanging emails all day. And here's the funny thing. He likes the show. He would have loved to have joined us, but he's exhausted because this happens to be the 20th anniversary week of Nevermind.
That's right. I've seen him all over the place this week.
And he is so wiped out.
Wow.
So the one week I'm in Seattle hosting the show is the Nevermind 20th anniversary week, and Chris can't do it.
Wait, but he listens to the Stephanie Miller Show?
He told me he had heard it, yeah.
That is awesome.
He also complimented me when I was at VH1 for how I hosted Superfly on the Rock and Roll Picture Show like 15 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Chris Novoselic, we salute you. And sorry you couldn't join us, but I do understand it's just a little bit busy this week.
Yeah.
We were talking before the break about the Occupy Wall Street protests, and or should I say the Occupy Wall Street uprising. Maybe we should start reframing it that way. And Chris, you had a really good point before we began the show today about why this protest has stumbled a bit coming out of the gate compared to, say, a heavily funded Koch Brothers Tea Party protest.
Right. Well, before every single Tea Party rally, even those of us here in the progressive media would get dozens of press releases about the upcoming events, you know, and I imagine that other media outlets got those too, and so they were able to send cameras before the thing, and, you know, it got huge, huge coverage. I didn't get one single press release about Occupy Wall Street before it happened, and I have to assume that other news outlets didn't either. That's why there was no news coverage.
Now, let me ask you, isn't that a sign, though, and I totally get what you're saying, but isn't that a sign that this really is grassroots, unlike the AstroTurf Tea Party where they had publicists ready to go? Isn't it a sign that this really is a protest of the people?
Sure, absolutely. It's grassroots. Yes, I will give you that. However, you know, when you're complaining that there was no press coverage about it, I'm trying to explain to you why there was no press coverage about it. Yes, there's press coverage now that it's happening, but it wasn't framed originally positive.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the first time it got press coverage was when somebody got maced. And so, therefore, you know, that middle America flyover country thinks that it's, you know, a big riot going on in you know, lower Manhattan.
Exactly, exactly. And much credit to Lawrence O'Donnell for playing the hell out of that footage, too, on his show. And for devoting a lot of time to it. You know, I'd love to see it turn into something. But
right. And you know, some people wrote to me and took issue with, you know, me trying to help them. And like, okay, whatever, buddy.
Yeah, why are you coming down on us, man? Why are you helping the bankers out?
You know what? And I'm just like, don't shoot the messenger. Just trying to help you out with positive news coverage.
Wow, that would almost be like, Chris, if you were to point out that Obama has embraced some policies that are Republican and haven't helped the economy, and then Democrats said that you were trying to help Republicans win for pointing out that inconsistency.
You really can't win sometimes.
Well, but that's the thing. I guess you know you're winning if you've got the left and the right going after you equally.
Right. But, you know, I tried to explain to them that there are some left, you know, progressive outlets out there that will help them with money and with media know-how. You know, you just have to ask them.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody asked anybody for some help.
I hope they will, because I think what we're going to see. I think what we're going to see now is that this will grow week by week. At least I hope it does. I really, really hope it does, because it would be amazing for the history books to record this as being the exact opposite of the Tea Party, mm-hmm. a genuine grassroots movement. So, you know, it just needs more people. So if you're in the tri-state area, you can go, even if you're somewhere on the East Coast, and go for a few hours one day. And I'm talking to you seniors, okay? This is a protest, like all protests, that needs seniors, the most powerful voting bloc we have, the most consistent people to show up in the entire electoral process. I'd love to see seniors there. I'd love to see, you know, union guys there. I'd love to see the LGBT folks get there. I mean, there's so much that we have uniting us in this, and I'd love to see Republicans get there. I don't know if it's going to happen yet, but boy, man, if there's one protest that the GOP folks should come to, if you're angry about the bank bailout, which was Bush, if you're angry about it, then get down there and express your fury, because these are the guys who ripped us off, and none of them went to jail. And this is an issue, by the way, that Barack Obama could run on and win Republican votes if he chose to do so, mm-hmm. except a lot of those crooks, well, they're in the cabinet.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of progressives and conservatives would be happy to see Larry Summers take a well-deserved vacation. For all the good Larry Summers may be doing, we can't forget that he's one of the masterminds behind the derivative scam, which is still hurting people. That's still the reason why so many folks have their mortgages underwater. Fox News will blame that on poor minorities who should never have bought houses. Are you kidding me? These banks were holding that stuff out like candy to a kid in a playground. They were giving away, selling as many bad mortgages as they could for the sole reason that you can now bet on mortgages failing and swap your bets with other douchebags that someone's mortgage is going to fail. Failing mortgages became big business for these guys, and that's what derivatives is all about. Please see Michael Moore's film Capitalism, and please see the Oscar-winning film Inside Job, this year's Oscar winner for Best Documentary. They both detail it exactly how cynical and nasty this scandal was.
Yeah, and also, there was an episode, a really, really well-done episode of This American Life on public radio that crystallized what went on with you know, Wall Street's failings back in the, you know, the mortgage crisis. It was stunning how well done it was, and how good how it makes you understand what went on.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, this is an issue that Republican folks should be furious about. And again, you know, I'm a hippie. I'm a Franciscan. I'm all like, hey, join hands. And I'm like, where can we on the left get our Republican brothers and sisters to at least nod their head and say, oh yeah, you're right, we do agree on this, and this is a perfect opportunity for it. I want to see Republicans show up at this debate, because it's your fight too. I'm John Fiegelsang. It's the Steph Miller Show with Rick Overton. We'll be right back after this.
Don't feel bad.
Stephanie Miller.
Everyone makes mistakes. Yours is just public and expensive.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. This is John Fiegelsang filling in for Steph, along with Rick Overton sitting in as our MOOC adjacent in the LA studio.
Yeah.
With the brilliant Chris Lavoy. Good morning again, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hi there. Dino Badala is going to be joining us right now. Dean is a contributor to CNN, CNN.com, and is a very fine comedian. I did an off-Broadway show with him called Laughing Liberally earlier this year. And Dean had a piece on CNN.com that I wanted to invite him in to discuss and defend, because Dean's feeling, I guess, Dean, is that the problem really isn't the presidential candidates, it's the voters. Am I correct? Good morning.
Hey, how are you, John? And Rick, too. It's good to hear Rick. We did some Laughing Liberally shows a couple of years ago in New York.
Good to hear from you, Dean. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine, you know, hanging out here in New York. But, yeah, John, I mean, to me, there's a lot of issues facing the next president or President Obama if he's reelected, and, you know, the economy and China and Arab Spring. But I think the hardest thing, frankly, is us. I think we're the most challenging. I think, as I said in my piece, we the people suck. I mean, that's what I want the title to be, we the people suck. But they wouldn't go with we the people suck. So they went with why does anyone want to be president, which is not what I really wanted it to be about. It is a tough job. But it's like running a band leader in the Titanic right now. You're not even captain of the Titanic. You're just on the band as the ship is sinking.
I got to say, this is how I felt, Dean, back in 2008, watching the both fields of candidates for president. I thought, you know, anybody dumb enough to want this job right now might deserve it.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, and look at, I really think, and in my piece is comedic in tone, but there's a truth. I really think the reality show mindset has spilled over, and how demanding we are, that you have to prove yourself every week on reality shows, like Dancing with the Stars and singing, and you could be great 1 week, but if you miss a note 1 week, the next week, we vote you out. You're dead to us. And I think some of that, honestly, this demanding, Veruca Salt, Willy Wonka, you know, I want it now. I want the deficit gone now. No compromise. I want it down now. I want low taxes and more government services, or at the least now. You know, I want a golden goose, and I want it now, Dad. Is permeating all of us. Like, we're all becoming unbearable as people.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I kind of feel like watching the GOP presidential debates every week. It's sort of like, I call it Trickle Down Idol. That's the reality show. And it's kind of like Survivor. And even though, like, they voted, the tribe has spoken and voted Michelle Bachmann off, she's still hanging around on Redemption Island, thinking she can come back.
They got immunity. I guess you got immunity from winning the Iowa caucus.
Exactly.
You get immunity, and you can come back in. But yeah, it's sort of like, you know, I was joking about it. Like, so you think you can rule, or, you know, dance with the candidates. But the idea is that what are we going to get in the future? And the serious note for me is, are we going to get the best and the brightest, or people who just have thick skin and say, you know what, I'll go through this and I'm going to deal with this? And I'm not saying not to question our leaders at all. Some people are like, what are you saying? Don't question. No, I'm completely for questioning leaders being demanding about issues. But this is like hourly. I mean, look at the Republican debate. I've never seen people cheer and boo the same candidate based on a different answer. We used to support candidates in the totality with compromise. You're like, well, you know, I may not agree with everything this person says, but I agree with 90%. Now, I mean, look at Rick Perry. He went from the prodigal son to an old satellite falling from the sky in 2 weeks. And what's going to happen to Chris Christie? If Chris Christie runs, they'll turn on him in 2 or 3 weeks. We know this. I mean, that's why Huckabee ultimately didn't run was part of it, because he could have been the nominee. Perhaps.
You're exactly right, and you're exactly right that they will turn on Chris Christie. I find it amazing how people are so drunk on his own charisma, and by God, the man has charisma. I will give him that.
He's being nice.
No, I'm not. I think I like Chris Christie as a person. I think he's an interesting guy. He clearly is cut from the Ron Paul or Kucinich vein, where he's not going to go along with the party line. He's going to say what he really feels. But Chris Christie believes in climate change. He supports gun control. He supports Obama's Race to the Top education program. He doesn't hate Muslims. He calls this Sharia law scare crap, and he doesn't hate illegals.
And he smells like a honey glazed ham.
Meet the Tea Party, Chris.
I thought charisma was a code word you were using to be nice. That's, I'm sorry.
No, he's a very charismatic guy. I think and he's a very likable guy.
He is, and obviously if he runs already late night comics, I'm no better, you know, doing jokes about his weight, and that becomes the focus, and much, much less so about jobs and the economy. We've lost that. I mean, this whole campaign should just be about what are you going to do to get the economy going, sincerely. And if you don't have answers, let's be honest, I don't have answers, because no one knows. All the economists are divided from, you know, Keynesian to austerity. What do you do? I don't know, and I'm reading as much as I can about the economy. I'm becoming obsessed with it, and the more I read, the more I realize no one has an answer, but no one is being upfront about it, going, Obama sucks, that's all they're saying. Okay, you know, maybe you can get my vote if you give me a real reason how we're going to rebuild our economy, because it's getting worse. Look at Reading, Pennsylvania, over 40% poverty rate. Just the article in the Times this week. Over 40% of an entire city under the poverty line.
It's incredible.
And no one's talking about the growing poverty. You know, impoverished Americans. It's not even part of the debate. Instead, it's booing and cheering, you know, death penalty and people not having insurance and dying.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, I would agree with you, Dean, that Obama, I would agree with the Republicans as well, that Obama has done a very poor job of fixing an economy wrecked by the Republicans. But it's not sticking to them. Their party is so Teflon with their own base. If I was a Republican voter who cared about conservative values and I took a look at what my party had done to this economy, I'd be furious. But the Democrats haven't been able to use the GOP's own incompetence with finance against them.
I agree with you, and I like, you know, I still support President Obama and the vision, and I think he's far.
Well, because he's really a Muslim like you, right? That's why.
Of course, that's why. And he was born in Kenya, which I keep expecting to go on TV any day. And go, you know what? I don't want to do any of this. I was actually born in Kenya. Biden, you take over the ship because I'm like, just get the heck out of here. But I talk to my friends on the left and the few friends I have on the right. You know what? What they want is not a president. They want a king. They want someone who's going to have an edict and say, no compromise. We're going to do this, this, and that. I have friends on the left especially who tell me, now I'm not voting for Obama because he didn't close Guantanamo as quickly. He didn't do, you know, single payer, no public option of health care. One after the other. I'm like, there's a thing.
Yeah, so go with Rick Perry.
But other things have to do with Congress and compromise. It's part of our system, checks and balances. You can't have a king. And some of them want a king, and they won't say it. Like, you want a king. You want someone who doesn't have to answer to Congress, who doesn't have to compromise. Compromise, it sucks. I get it. But that's what our system's based on. And without it, it protects us now. Because if a Republican came in who was highly conservative, it gets everything through, we'll be crying. You have to have compromise.
Well, you're right. And that's the basis. When Newt Gingrich took over in the Republican Revolution of 94, the first thing he said was, we will have zero compromise. And, you know, that's not how you govern. No one governs that way. That's talking to the base. And I think so much of what candidates do is just play to the base, Dean. I actually believe that only two of these nine candidates are really running for president, and the other seven are running for higher public speaking fees and possible radio jobs.
Right. Right, and I was thinking of announcing just to get a radio job. If I could announce and run in my campaign for president, maybe I get a, you know, something local in Jersey. I want to move back to Jersey and have a show like in Bergen County. But I don't aim high. I'm not like an alpha male. I'm a beta male. I just want to come in second, and I'm really happy about it. I don't need that big show, like a Stephanie Miller show, beyond me. Something like Dino Bidala, it's a podcast or something that four people listen to.
And I know. I want to have my own radio show, and I figure, like, I guess I should just run as a Republican candidate.
That's how you get it. But who do you? You really think, though, if it's between Romney and Perry, and it seems Romney is now getting more traction than Perry as people start to turn on Perry. And it's not about the economy or anything, which is sad because I really wish it was about views of how to help our economy, how to get people working. Look, there's states in the South now. I know we're a little over 9% national, but there was a great article in Times this week. States in the Sun Belt used to be ahead of the curve right now at 11.1%, 11.2% unemployment.
Yeah.
It's growing. It's eclipsing the Rust Belt, actually, in unemployment. What are you going to do for those people? And they're turning harshly against the president, but they would turn against anyone in office at this point. It's just it's desperation.
Well, the problem is the GOP voters who live in the denial belt. And, you know, it's true. I mean, you look at their options. Their options are Bush or McCain, in that they can have a dopey Texas governor whose policies have failed, or they can who's charismatic but is ultimately a dope and can't speak without a prompter, or they can have McCain, the guy who's been at it so long, it's his turn, he's the most organized, and no one in the party really likes him all that much. I mean, Mitt Romney is just hoping he can be, you know, hated by the own base, and yet they'll still make him the nominee the way McCain was.
And look at the problems he has, and you know this, I think, evangelicals, a third of them have said in recent polls, they say this way, I know a friend who won't vote for a Mormon. You know, that friend is them. But it's really in the poll thing I've heard from other Republicans, a third of my Republican friends, that they won't vote for a Mormon. And part of the Muslims are coming tour, which you had us on before, we're going to Utah next week to perform in Salt Lake. Some of our free shows are in Idaho, Salt Lake, and Arizona.
Is this for the Muslims are coming? The Muslims are coming tour.
Yeah, with Nagin, we're doing the documentary, and it's all free shows. We did it all in the South, and now we're going to the West. And the people, the Mormons in Salt Lake, have been so embracive of us. They're like, welcome, come in. You know, we're going through the same thing you are. We know what it's like. And, you know, if a third of Republicans won't vote for a Mormon, just imagine, for a Muslim, I mean, we don't have to guess, you know, who they wouldn't vote for us. But so it's interesting to go where Huntsman and Romney's base are and where Huntsman was governor to Utah next week, and I look forward to speaking to people on the street there. We'll set up our Ask a Muslim booth and have some conversation, and politics is going to come up, and who do you like, and do you feel you're being demonized, and Romney doesn't get a fair shot. The old Romney, remember the one with health care and favor of gay marriage, pro-choice? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, if I had a time machine, I could vote for the guy. You know, I went back.
No, you wouldn't.
The old Romney.
Well, you bring up a good point, actually. Everyone should go to the YouTube and Google Romney-Ted Kennedy debate and see how pro-choice Mitt Romney used to be. Dean, I do want to ask you really quickly,
sure,
because you are Muslim, about Herman Cain. Now, Herman Cain, despite what he's saying now, did say he wouldn't have any Muslims in his cabinet, but I think more importantly than that, he said that he thought communities had the right to keep mosques from being built in their neighborhoods, in spite of the whole constitution and religious freedom we claim to have in this country.
Right.
How does this feel to you now, seeing Herman Cain begin to get this traction?
You know, on some level, I if he gets the nomination, that's great. That will unveil a part of the Republican Party that embraces bigotry, frankly. I don't think he'll ever get the nomination. You know, he didn't get any traction, at least in true poll numbers at the time, when he was saying Muslims should have to take a loyalty oath to be in the cabinet, and Muslims should not be able to build unless I say so, essentially, or our community says so. And it, when he went more to the economy, I think that's when he started gaining more traction, and he still... there's no credit to give him, but in his slight credit, he started reaching out to the Muslim community like a month or so ago.
Yes,
and toned down that rhetoric. Yeah, and sort of saying, oh, well, I'm not sure now. So I'm happy that was not getting the traction in the party, in the Republican Party. I don't really think most Republicans, and going down south, most of the people we met down there, it's really the far right, not the right.
That's what I say all the time.
Of discrimination. Yeah. And they unfortunately control the narrative. That sensationalism. Like Terry Jones, honestly, I'm on... Terry Jones,
Terry Jones, for those who don't remember, is the pastor in Gainesville, Florida, who was burning the Korans.
Right, so they have this group, Stand Up America, and we went to Gainesville, our Muslims are coming tour, and I talked to the people there, and Terry wasn't there, but he wanted to be interviewed by us because he wants media coverage now. But his people now follow me on Twitter, and for the last few weeks have been, you know, follow Friday, saying follow me along with, like, other people, and because we had this dialogue, and I really think my point is even people on the far right, you can have some dialogue. We're never going to be buddies.
Absolutely.
And he just changed. He just sent me the thing. They just changed the picture, which said, like, Muslim's a devil on the front of the church, to now say Obama is the worst president ever. They just changed it today. And I go,
oh, how progressive of them. Wow.
I know. I go, I completely defend that. You can say that. I don't agree with it. But you can. That's so much better. That's part of the American discourse. We all said Bush was the worst president ever.
Yeah,
Many of us said that.
When Bush fans call Obama the worst president ever, because, you know, the guys just failed to clean up Bush's mess, and that's all you really need for that. Well, you're exactly right, and you know, it's interesting because I say all the time that conservatives tend to be really nice people. They just don't vote for very nice people, and you know, we all have conservatives in our life who are lovely, and we love them, and we care for them, and they vote for these horrible candidates who tell them what they want to hear, and never deliver. By the way, I mean, we're all still waiting for our Reaganomics prize in the mail, right, kids? We're all still waiting for our NAFTA prize in the mail too, Democrats. So, you know, I couldn't agree with you more, and it's so inspiring for me to see you guys doing a Muslim comedy tour in the Deep South. It's what America's all about.
And now the West. And, you know, as we met people, the worst things we heard about Muslims were things they would never say, I met a Muslim, he did this. They go, they're repeating what they heard on the right-wing media. And not just Fox News, but the problem is Fox News keeps putting the people like Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer Gaffney, who are on the Southern Poverty Law Center groups as a hate list. They're a hate group, and they're the only media outlet now putting them on without saying to their viewers. If they had a Klan member on, or Aryan Terror Brigade, which are also on the Southern Poverty Law Center website, as a hate group, they would say these guys are on it, but they don't. And, you know, that's the problem. Like, we need more responsibility by some of the media, well, Fox News. We need responsibility and radio, right-wing radio, and that'll end that hate campaign out there. It's a Muslim hate campaign.
We're out of time, but Dean Ovidell is an award-winning comedian. He's on the Muslims Are Coming tour. You can read his new piece on CNN.com. Dean, thank you very much for joining us.
And it's Dean of Comedy, Dean of Comedy.
Dean of Comedy on Twitter.
Yeah, Dean of Comedy on Twitter. Follow me. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, John. Nice talking to Rick, too.
Thanks a lot. We'll be taking your calls when we come back with Rick Overton at 1-800-STEP-12.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you from Seattle, home of the great Jimi Hendrix. We are broadcasting this morning live from Seattle's Progressive Talk. It's 1090 up here in Seattle. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Stephanie. And we are in Seattle because tomorrow night sees the Seattle debut of the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, starring Stephanie Housebarks and myself for two nights at the Moore Theater. Joined in L.A. by Chris Lavoie and the one and only Rick Overton.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hi, right back.
I think Rick is kind of falling asleep over there. It's early.
That's okay. I have that effect on all of our listeners.
Oh, stop it.
But it's exciting. Rick, I actually, the first time I ever came to Seattle was with Rick Overton. We performed together here at a club called The Main Stage, and then we did a movie here together 3 years ago that still hasn't seen the light of day yet. But I did a movie in Seattle with Rick Overton and Eric Roberts and Elizabeth Rome of Law and Order. And so it's wonderful to be back in Seattle. And we're playing two shows at the Moore Theater. Now, Saturday night's completely sold out. They have, however, opened up the ultra nosebleed seats. There's a balcony up there at the Moore Theater that they never use for comedy shows. And they're opening it up for some budget tickets. So there's no elevator. You got to walk up steps. But if you like walking up steps and want to see the show, it's going to be a riot. And we open tonight, so there's still, I think, a few tickets left. Yep. We're sold out of VIPs, but please, you can go to Ticketmaster or go to sexyliberal.com. We want to see you tonight. Hal Sparks and Stephanie are en route right now. It's too much sexy for just one show. And Rick, in a sexy liberal comedy show, I play the role of show, by the way, just so you know. I wanted to be the third sexiest liberal on the entire tour, and by God, I've achieved it. Because those two are very, I don't know if you know this, Rick, but Stephanie and Hal are attractive people.
Yeah, I'm going to try and start up the achy liberal tour.
Yeah, the achy. Do you have one at the achy decrepit liberal comedy tour? I'll headline that.
I'll take decrepit. I'll put that in there, too. It's just, if they have enough letters in the cardboard box for the marquee.
Well, since we're up here in the great north of Seattle, let's take Joe from Spokane, who's calling us about Wall Street. Are you there, Joe? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. In Spokane here, they have a thing. It's called Occupy Spokane, and it's down in front of our federal courthouse, and there's about 50 people camped out. And it's not been on any of our local news stations, and there are three of them. So yesterday I called one of our stations, which claims to be the local news leader, and I asked the representative, what's going on? I acted like I did not know. What's going on in front of the federal building? I see tents set up and some people. And this person acted like they didn't know either. And I said, well, God, you guys claim to be the local news leader. Maybe you should send a reporter down and find out what's going on. I mean, it's right in front of the federal building, two blocks from your building. Well, this morning on the news, it was on for like 12 seconds, but they only said Occupy Spokane is happening, and then they went right to America killed an Al-Qaeda leader in Yemen. Mm-hmm. So they did not describe what it is or anything. They did show a picture of it like 12 seconds.
Well, yeah, and in fairness, you know, I was on Fox News last week doing the Fox and Friends 15th anniversary Unholy special, and they covered the very first day of Occupy Wall Street. So, I mean, some of the corporate media is doing it, but Joe, have you asked the leaders if they will put together press releases and actually submit them to the local media? Maybe
you
that
know,
would help.
I have not. I drive by it, and mm-hmm. I honk and wave to the people, and they do have some interesting signs. One says, prosecute Wall Street criminals, and one says, bankers are ripping us off. So there is a unified message there that they're
right.
Kind of against the banker thing. But no, I have not, because I just have no time during the day when I'm working.
Yeah.
And I may try to go after work tonight and go talk to the people. But I am encouraging my friends to call our local news stations and give them a ration about, hey, why don't you say your local news?
That won't get the media on your side if you call them and harass them. Seriously.
No, in a polite way. I mean, just ask them, what's going on? I'd really like to see it on the news. Could you guys send a reporter down there and tell us what's going on? Because that's what I did with this other station. I didn't say, hey, what's wrong with you?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
hey,
well, thank you, Joe.
Guys, get the message out.
Thank you. I mean, what can the guy do to get hot chicks, naked people? I mean, what do you have to do? Like people making out? What will get people's attention? What would make the media?
If we can get a well-written, concise press release.
I disagree. I think if we as progressives can go to Anthony Weiner and say, do you want to redeem yourself, sir? If Anthony Weiner would email penis photos to every one of these protests, the media would pay attention. You laugh, but trust me, it would work. Otherwise, we could get or just wear tea bags on your head. Then the liberal media will show up right away. In fact, that's brilliant.
No.
If we could get the Occupy Wall Street people to dress up as tea partiers, the whole media would show up and they think it was so important.
Nope. No.
Get a Sarah Palin impersonator to say she's on a bus tour, and MSNBC will be all over it.
The reason why cameras were there to take pictures of people with tea bags on their hats is because they got a press release.
Oh, you're no fun.
I know I'm no fun, but I'm trying to help these protesters get their message out.
The original Tea Party dressed as someone else.
That's true.
I want to talk about that when we come back,
as how they dressed. You're taking your calls at 1-800-STEP-12. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you live from Seattle at AM 1090 Progressive Talk. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph from the Seattle affiliate. And we are here because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour featuring myself, Steph, and Hal Sparks opens tonight at the Moore Theater in Seattle. So if you're in Seattle, do yourself a favor and come on down to this. We have a few seats left for tonight. Tomorrow night's pretty much sold out. Tonight you can get good tickets. Tomorrow night, the only seats that are available, they just opened up the upper balcony with the nosebleeds where you have to walk like 45 flights of stairs. It's very Hitchcockian.
Oh.
But you can get budget seats for tomorrow at the nosebleeds. But really, if you want to get good seats, come on down tonight. There's a few seats left. They're going fast. Go to sexyliberal.com. I think we're, are we doing this with our evil overlords at Ticketmaster? Are they in charge of this? I don't know.
Not sure, but all that information is at sexyliberal.com.
Yeah, so go and help our evil overlords at Ticketmaster.
They've changed the name to Ticketmeister.
Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning. Hey, I get to listen to the good with the good headphones today. Stephanie's out of town. Wow.
That's true, and she makes you sit away from the exposed asbestos, right? Like when since he's not there, you don't have to sit near that hole in the wall. So congrats. Jim, we've been talking about Occupy Wall Street all morning, and I'm very glad that you're joining us now because we're about to be joined on the line by one of my favorite comedians, Lee Camp, who's, aside from being a brilliant comic and writer and the star of the Moment of Clarity podcast, which everyone should get, Lee's also an activist, and he's been spending quite a bit of time there, and we are now joined by Mr. Lee Camp. Good morning.
Hey, John. All this talk of sexy liberals has my nipples hard, just so you know.
That's the idea, my friend, and I'm glad I can have that effect on you and that the roofies still work. Lee, I was down there this week at Occupy Wall Street at Freedom Square. I was inspired by a lot. I was dismayed by a bit. I have the fervent hope that this is going to grow into something amazing and that it's going to become a broader coalition with a more focused message that the media will pick up. But you've been spending a lot more time there than me. I've been too busy being angry at how the media is covering it. Tell me, how's the protest going?
I mean, when I've been down there, I think it's been amazing. And obviously, the complaints, probably the ones you had, are relevant. You know, the that there's a couple of people that look kind of wacky. There is one topless girl walking around.
But, yeah, you know, I saw the topless girl, yeah.
And I knew, actually, the moment when it first started, that first night, she was already there. And I said, you know, if the media does come down here, that's all they're going to talk about. And sure enough, the New York Times first paragraph was all about this girl that really, you know, is not representative at all of what's going on. It's just, you know, that's the thing about having a protest that doesn't have a leader is that you're going to get all types.
Absolutely.
And so,
and when you say, Lee, I'm sorry, wouldn't you say it's a bit like what President Obama faces as the first black president, that we as progressives have to work 10 times harder to be taken seriously on the same level as someone else, the way Obama's got to work 10 times harder than Bush did to be taken seriously?
Oh, completely, and simply by the fact that you know, this protest and the left doesn't have the help of this massive media machine. I mean, you know, Fox News, when the Tea Party stuff was happening around the country, they had Tea Party days where they just covered the Tea Party. So,
and you don't have the crowd.
Massive machine.
But there are organizations out there willing to help. They just didn't know that this was going to be going on. You know, there's Bullfight Strategies. There's the Center for American Progress. All of them have money and expertise on the media in order to get the word out there, but nobody asked them.
Yeah, I mean, that's because it was kind of spontaneous, and I think those people are being brought in, especially if they want to help now, and I think it could keep growing, and it seems to be growing around the country. You know, OccupyTogether.org has a list of tons of cities where it's happening.
Absolutely, and it is happening all over the place. We just had a guy call a few minutes ago from Spokane that an Occupy Spokane, you know, protest has sprung up. But let me ask you, Lee, if you had to distill the message to what the Occupy Wall Street protest, or I should say uprising, is, how would you describe it?
I'd say if you had to boil it down to a soundbite, which of course never really works, but I'd say it's increased Wall Street regulation, and it has to do with corporations paying their fair share. I think that most of America understands that the corporate heads in Wall Street continue to enrich themselves and watch America suffer. And I think that's something that most people see and relate to, and they may have different opinions on how to fix it, but I think they know it's there.
I think you're right. Do you think it's the sort of protest that if they guide it the right way, they could bring in some of our conservative brothers and sisters who should be just as outraged as we are?
Yeah, I think you're seeing a little more of that, maybe not on the quite to the conservative side, but you're seeing a minute more moderates. They'll show up to the protest. I mean, they're not going to sleep in the square, but no. they're showing up for an hour and showing their support and delivering pizzas and things to the kids who are the ones who are willing to sleep in the square. But, you know, people have been making stuff about it being young people there. But, you know, who are the people that are going to suffer more when this country starts to look like the day after tomorrow meets the day after? I mean, it's...
Well, you know, there's conservatives in unions, and I think a lot of the influx will come in through the route of the one part they can all go agree on is that the union has tangibly taken care of them, you know.
I'm actually at the AFL-CIO Young Leadership Summit here in Minneapolis for the moment. And
that's right.
Performed last night after the Secretary of Labor, and there's been talk of the Occupy Wall Street protests, and they seem to, I don't know that they've made an announcement that they support it, but it seems that most people here support it.
Yeah, I think that'll only grow as it grows in influence. And again, it's you know, with any kind of protest, we have to hope that it stays nonviolent. We have to hope that the anarchist douchebags don't show up and start smashing windows.
Hey, you know
stays
what?
Nonviolent
get
on one side.
Guys, yeah, get those guys on camera and always, like they used to say in the 60s, check the shoes.
Check
because a lot of times they're agent provocateurs, you know, and they never switch. They always got the police issue shoes, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, we want to get guys in suits at this thing. We want to get, you know, responsible capitalists who are outraged over the fact that these guys ripped off America. We bailed them out. They looted the treasury. Bush gave them a free ride, and the Democrats signed on for the bailout as well. No one's gone to jail for it. More people have gone to jail for peacefully assembling on a sidewalk against these criminals than the actual criminals.
Yeah, there's an article in Rolling Stone this month about the pipeline revolt and how they were treated by the police, you know, standing in shackles for 10 hours with no bathroom privileges and whatnot. Yeah. Meanwhile, Dick Fuld is, you know, sitting on a pile of money in one of his mansions.
Yeah, one of the posts I did that was getting a bunch of buzz about the cops at Occupy Wall Street. I did it for Moment of Clarity, my web series, and my point was basically like, there's got to be a little voice in the back of those cops' heads going, "I can hardly pay my mortgage. Maybe I should be monitoring the bankers and the economic pillagers rather than screaming at this 19-year-old. Why won't you put down the chalk? Step away from the chalk."
Well, you're exactly right. This is what Michael Moore always has to deal with when we always wonder, you know, why aren't conservatives getting behind what Michael Moore is saying? Anything post-Fahrenheit 9/11, I mean, you look at Sicko, you look at Capitalism, A Love Story. Those are films I give to all my conservative friends because he's fighting for all of us here. And these Wall Street protesters are fighting for all of us except the upper 2% who got rich off of looting the Treasury.
Yeah, there's a lot of posts that talk about the posters that talk about the 99%, and they're talking about the 99% that are not the ones getting hugely wealthy off of this system.
So what do you think we can do to keep the establishment media? And again, you know, we're sitting here talking about why we're so shocked that the status quo is ignoring a protest against the status quo. But, you know, when you look at how scornful and condescending and disdainful the establishment media is on this thing, MSNBC notwithstanding, God bless Lawrence O'Donnell, what are some of the things that you think this protest could do, gentlemen, to change that, to shift that paradigm, besides taking mace in the face?
I think that the activism has to continue to get creative. I think you've got to do different things. You know, the Yes Men were down. I got to interview the Yes Men down at Occupy Wall Street. They do a lot of creative protests, and I think that's the type of thing that gets media coverage. And obviously, sadly enough, celebrities. You know, people watched when Roseanne and Michael Moore showed up at Occupy Wall Street. So it's getting creative and getting the message out there that way.
Got to make it entertaining somehow.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that if Anthony Weiner would send penis photos, the media would cover it. And Lee, as I was saying before the break, if the guys at Occupy Wall Street start wearing tea bags on their hats and wearing eagle t-shirts and saying "Don't tread on me," then the liberal media will show up to cover what the Tea Party's doing. Trust me.
If we would just misspell more of our signs.
Well, that's the problem when you're on the moral side. No one wants to hear that. liberals and conservatives don't want to hear, the majority of people don't want to hear moralizing. They don't want to hear how screwed up the system is, and that's what Occupy Wall Street's all about. It's putting the immorality of the system right in our faces, and that's uncomfortable for people. The Tea Party, well, that's just bozo on a pogo stick. I mean, that started off as a legitimate protest that became a nutjob magnet, and that's fun to watch and make fun of and scorn. I think that Wall Street, the Occupy Wall Street uprising, is focusing on some truths that are very uncomfortable for a lot of Americans to look at.
Well, I think a lot of people are too busy looking at their portfolios to go out and protest.
Or that as well. Lee, what is next for you?
I have a couple of panels here at the AFL-CIO event, and then New York, then touring Canada the second half of October.
And let me ask you, how is the AFL-CIO event going? Are we feeling a bit more pro-Obama now that he's going after the upper 2% and promising to tax the wealthy? Has the mood changed a bit?
I don't know. I haven't heard much talk of Obama, but I've only been here for a day, so I don't know where they stand on Obama. I think people are very frustrated, even though hopefully he's changed his tone a little bit. But
I understand the frustration, but a lot of the progressives I talk to are really happy about the fact that he's going hard after the upper 2% because he ran on it. The majority of Americans support a more progressive tax rate and the Buffett rule. And, you know, the fact is he seems more like candidate Obama from 2008, and it seems like that is going to get him reelected.
Well, and I think that if he'd been behaving that way, or, you know, going after the 2% or regulating Wall Street, you wouldn't be seeing these protests. These protests are exactly because he hasn't done anything.
Well, let me challenge you just a little bit on that, because Dodd-Frank, you know, I'm not going to say it was real financial reform. It wasn't reform. It was financial improvement. The way I don't think healthcare reform was reform. I think it was just a gradual improvement. And Dodd-Frank, again, it's more people to more watchdogs. It's sort of like Dodd-Frank is approaching the Wall Street crime situation sort of like if you're trying to solve a shark problem by hiring more lifeguards instead of driving the sharks away. But at the same time, it's something. And it's an effort in that direction. And when you see how furious the GOP presidential candidates are towards Dodd-Frank and Wall Street reform, you know, it makes me think, well, gee, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it is pretty good if it upsets Mitt Romney and Rick Perry this much. I mean, you know, are we giving Obama any credit for anything he's at least tried to do here?
Well, I'll trust you on that, but I thought not allowing Elizabeth Warren to do her work was pretty awful. I think a lot of people wanted to see that.
I completely agree, but I've begun to think the end game is to get her in the Senate, and it seems like it's going to work, and Obama's going to help her get elected to the Senate and get Scott Brown out of Ted Kennedy's office. So that's what I'm hoping for. Lee Camp, you're brilliant. We're all fans here. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll look for you. And everyone check out Moment of Clarity. That's Lee Camp's joint.
That's LeeCamp.net is where everyone can find that. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll be back on the Stephanie Miller Show, taking your calls in the next break at 1-800-STEPH-12.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you from Seattle. We're broadcasting from AM 1090 up here.
I get
Seattle's
it. Hence the
car.
Hendrix drop. Okay.
Nice, huh? You like that?
Very nice, yeah.
I called Chris at 5 o'clock this morning. I'm like, can we get some Hendrix and some Pearl Jam and some Nirvana for the show? I love Seattle. We sang earlier, I did a movie with Rick Overton in Seattle a couple of years back.
Oh, cool.
Me, Rick, and Eric Roberts. Who,
Eric Roberts,
if you walk up to Eric Roberts and go, my thumb, Charlie, my thumb, they broke my thumb. He never gets tired of that. It's so funny.
No, he actually has a broken finger from kickboxing. I ran into him at the gym some years ago, yeah.
Oh, my.
He really does that stuff.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. He's an interesting cat. But I love Seattle, and I'm so glad we're bringing our tour here. We're at the Moore Theater tonight, which if you're in Seattle and can hear this, y'all should come. Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, myself. That's two-thirds of a great show, folks, and I would recommend it very highly to all y'all.
And now there are some really cheap seats for the Saturday show.
Yes, Saturday was sold out because the Moore Theater doesn't ever put their upper balcony on sale for comedy shows. However, we've sold so many and there's so many interest in it that they are putting a number of cheap seats on sale. You have to walk up a lot of stairs. There's no elevator.
Of course, you have to sit next to Statler and Waldorf. I've seen erosion, but footage more funny than this show.
And maybe you have, but it's going to be great. We love Seattle, and I'm so thrilled that we finally brought the tour to Seattle. It's been building for a long time, so come on down and see us tonight, because there's going to be a lot of very cool special guests in the house, too. Let's get to the phones, shall we? Because Eric has been on hold for a long time from Maine. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad. Welcome.
Okay, the basic thing is that, well, first of all, I think the one thing you have to realize is that I think no matter what, there's going to be a segment of the Republican Party that's not going to vote for anybody that has a religion that has an M at the beginning initial.
Yes.
Yeah, really. But as far as the stuff down in Florida, I mean, down in New York, you've got the, sorry, I'm just walking through someplace here. When you get the guys going through New York, I was a news photographer for 25 years, and the thing is that when news photographers go to an event like that, I mean, they're trying to go down there as being a witness for the people that are in the actual audience when they're watching the news. And so if you're going to go down there, if you saw somebody, you know, who was topless or something like that, personally, you'd be looking at that person, you know, who's topless. So, I mean, I think the
Of course, I think the Koch brothers are paying that lady to walk around with her shirt off.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Because I wouldn't pay her to do it. I've seen her.
Well, okay. But the thing is that, I mean, perception is so much, just so much of a reality in any kind of a situation like that. And news photographers are going to shoot what people would normally be looking at when they went down to something like that. So if they see a bunch of people sitting around, you know, with a thousand piercings on them and not putting them down in any way, but, you know, for reality's sake, I mean, you know, and pounding on drums and stuff like that, which they do in a lot of places, mm-hmm. it's going to look bad.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. people are going to think that it's a bunch of, you know, a bunch of hippies down there. Now, look what happened.
A bunch of hippies that aren't like themselves.
Exactly. The others.
Yeah, the others.
They're not working. You
right.
know, that these are unemployed people. As opposed to, like, say, Wisconsin, when you had a lot of, you know, middle-class, very normal-looking people, mm-hmm. and that resonated, and
exactly.
that's why that actually started getting a lot more coverage.
You're exactly right. And Wisconsin also, my friend, got Republicans to cross over and march with them, too.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, that there was a protest up here in Maine, and, you know, they were like, there was a lot of people down there, and it was an anti-war protest on the Iraq war, and I completely agreed with them, but they were down there doing stuff like, you know, marking up an old, soldier's monument, you know, and doing
yeah.
kinds of stuff like that. And it just, you know.
Which is disgusting, and it's not liberal.
But it looked like it basically proved the point of the people that were against them.
Mm-hmm.
By saying,
exactly.
look at these people, they're down there being destructive, they're down there looking like a bunch of idiots, they're down there.
You're right, and this happens all
yeah.
the time, and a lot of times you'll have your wonderful progressive activists, and then you'll have your violence-prone douchebags. You'll have your guys who were at the G7 throwing bricks through windows. I did a fundraiser 2 years ago for 9/11 first responders, and it was completely taken over by the... I'm not talking the truthers. I'm talking the violent truthers and the anarchists. Who,
yeah.
by the way,
right.
anarchists don't organize a very good protest, I got to say. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars joins us after the break.
Stephanie Miller
is fabulous on an international scale. Wherever
Stephanie Miller
is the place to be. I mean, the jet set just follow her like a flock of migrating birds.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Stubblesang, filling in for Steph. And we are listening to Foo Fighters, which
yes.
also counts as a Seattle band.
Right. Absolutely. I saw Dave Grohl at a Target with his young daughter on his
really?
Shoulder.
Really?
Yes.
Was, pretty cool.
Speaking of Target, did you see the mm-hmm. pictures of Michelle Obama shopping at a Alexandria,
oh,
Virginia
really?
Target yesterday?
No.
Wow.
Yes.
Incognito.
Incognito. She was wearing a hat and sunglasses.
How funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
smartest thing she could do. That is so
yep.
brilliant.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Well, she's always said that she misses the normal, you know, everyday stuff, like going to Target.
Right.
And so this is, you know, the Secret Service let her do it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
cool. Like, I need one more reason to have a crush on that woman. Well, thanks for playing the Foos, and I hope Dave Grohl isn't too tired from keeping rock alive all by himself. But we're broadcasting from Seattle's progressive stock talk station, AM 1090. We're here because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is playing the Moore Theater tonight. Oh, my God, it's tonight. What am I going to talk about? We're going through the whole big Chris Christie problem of you can't do the weight jokes, folks. I told my first ever Chris Christie weight joke earlier this morning on the show, and I it got a laugh, so I posted it on Twitter, and then I got so much hate from friends. So, we're going to have to liberals fall back on Chris Christie's points of view on the issues. I know it's horrible, but fortunately...
It's not as fun.
It's not as fun, but it's a very, very fertile playing field. However, we will be having Frank Conniff join us in the next hour to tell some very inappropriate, horribly unfair weight jokes about Chris Christie that will offend all of us deeply.
And speaking of guests who we have on the line right now?
Could it be the managing editor of Crooks and Liars who has her own theme song on The Stephanie Miller Show?
Which I don't have ready to go.
Oh, I just gave you the greatest setup ever.
Oh man. Well, I can search for it.
We are now joined live by Tina Dupuy, who's going to come up to see our show in Seattle tonight. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, John. I'm coming to your show tonight? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, you're going to come up to the Moore Theater in Seattle this evening.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm on my way.
Okay, fantastic. Tina, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. You're joined, of course, by two Emmy winners, Mr. Jim Ward and Mr. Rick Overton.
Hey, Tina.
In studio, as always.
Howdy.
And
hello,
it's been...
Rick.
Hi, honey.
And we have her jingle ready.
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy, managing editor of CrooksandLiars.com.
I'm a politician, which means I'm a crook and a liar.
Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
You left that smoking hot.
Yeah, yes. I know. I know. Tina loves when we talk about that. So welcome back to the show, Tina. There's so much to go through. And everyone, if you're listening to the show and you don't subscribe to Crooks and Liars, you're not a real liberal and you want Rick Perry to be president. And I love Crooks and Liars because you guys just bring me the truth and good music, too. And between this week, between Occupy Wall Street, which we've been talking about all morning, I was down there this week, and we just had Lee Camp on talking about what he's seen. Between Herman Cain having his little cotillion in the media to Chris Christie, will he run or won't he? And the Supreme Court's going to get the health care bill. I mean, Tina, how do we keep track of all that's going on right now?
You go to our website.
Yeah, well, what do you think of the Chris Christie flirtation with the rest of the world?
You know, I mean, if I were Romney, and I'm not saying I am, I would get a little, you know, the people, the, you know, 25 people who are running for president right now.
On the GOP side, yeah.
Yes, I think that, you know, I would be a little hurt. You know, I mean, it's every week now that they want someone else other than the people who are actually running to be their nominee. You know, I'm sure that after Chris Christie has kind of exhausted himself, it'll happen. I know, I'm sorry. You said no fat jokes. I can't help. But, you know, when every time someone talks about him running, I'm like, really? Really? People, come on. Stop.
Stop it. No, it's not funny. It's just not funny. It's not funny. you make a very good point, because I think the GOP voting base this year is sort of like a Kardashian sister having a different soulmate every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, please.
Just in my mind, I'm like, John Kerry. I have no sympathy for any of you people.
Why do you say John Kerry?
Because remember in 2004 when we were like, Bush, look at this guy. We could easily beat this guy. Let's do this. And then we got John Kerry, and it was like, oh.
Yeah, I know. I
and
think
that's
that was
exactly
a...
what the Republicans are doing. They're like, oh, yeah, look, he's only Obama. He's polling at 40%, you know, which was, you know, the same as Reagan at this point in his presidency. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other thing. Look at this guy. This guy's totally beatable. Look how high the unemployment rate is. We got this. And then it's like, oh, wow, Rick Perry.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, their problem is that they didn't, they think they got it. They caused it. This is a bunch of Republicans who are trying to run on George Bush policies they're giving another name to. They're the ones who caused this meltdown. Democrats helped them. I'm not saying they didn't. Mm-hmm. So they've got to go with the outsider, because they can't have an insider, you know, a guy who was actually there. But their parade of outsiders, their strongest hope is a guy they all hate, and that's Mitt Romney.
Right, exactly. And then you have my favorite this week was Newt Gingrich came out again. His justification for why he knows that evolution is not true is because we're not rhinoceroses. That was his thing, and I was like, you know, someone who's cheated on his wife as many times as Newt Gingrich should probably not open himself up to horny jokes.
Nah. You're exactly right. And furthermore, Newt Gingrich made such a fuss over how he converted to Catholicism. The Catholic Church does not dispute the theory of evolution. So he's going against his own religion to pander to voters right now, and that's something that I'm sure the liberal media will cover in no time. Newt Gingrich also has a brand new contract with America for his campaign. He's trying to, it's like, it's so sad. Like, he's got the contract for America too. You know, it's
bigger,
so,
longer,
it's like,
and cut more.
Oh, it's like watching Meatloaf with Bat Out of Hell 3. It's just so sad and forlorn. And, you know, the big thing of the contract with America was term limits, which none of those guys actually meant, except Newt. He had to quit, but he didn't leave voluntarily. He got caught. I mean, these guys didn't take any of their agenda seriously. And so do you think that, why do you think Chris Christie, Tina, is the great white hope of the GOP this week?
Because he's a lobbyist, former lobbyist. You know, I think it's just because they want something shiny and new and not Mormon. That's what they want. You know, and anything at this point, they're all terrified that Sarah Palin is going to announce that she wants to be the president. So, you know, they're just trying to find somebody who can be a star, who can do whatever. You know, I mean, at some point they're going to start courting Marco Rubio, and that's going to be the latest flavor. And he's going to be going to the Reagan Library saying, no, 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 please, people, please stop begging me. No, 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 I can't do this. But, yeah, to me it just indicates that they don't really like the people who are already in. They're really not sure about Michelle Bachmann. That's what
Oh, you think? Well, I think you're right, although I happen to agree with Bill O'Reilly on this, that Marco Rubio is pretty much a lock for the GOP vice presidential nomination. I mean, you want to carry Florida easily, right? So
right.
I think Rubio's got that gig in the bag if he wants it. I don't think we'll see any crush for him to run for president. But do you love, Tina and Rick and Jim, do you love that the same people who are saying that Obama lacks the experience to be president are putting all their hopes on Chris Christie this week?
This is you know, why worry about their hypocrisy now? I mean, this is all they do is say what you get your little, you know, decoder ring out, whatever they say, click, click, click. It's the opposite. You can always track what they're doing when they accuse you of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One trick is do the exact demonic opposite. Say the exact demonic opposite of what they really intend to do. They always do it an exact 180 reverse.
Limbaugh has come out in favor of hypocrisy. He says hypocrisy is actually showing that that Republicans have morals.
That's a perfect example.
Being a hypocrite means that you actually try.
Well, let's talk about hypocrisy, because we've got the GOP base now sucking up to Chris Christie, a man who believes in climate change, who supports gun control laws, because they save cops' lives, a man who supported Obama's Race to the Top education program, a man who doesn't hate Muslims, who calls this Sharia law crap, and who doesn't hate illegal immigrants. This is the guy they're all flooding with love now.
Yes, but he's not a Mormon.
He's not a Mormon. Right. Because they don't know that. Because he's just not Romney. I mean, it's like, it's just anybody but. And also not Palin. I mean, I think that's who they're really afraid of, that if they don't find a superstar, somebody they can all kind of get in line behind and support absolutely, that they're going to get stuck with, because Palin has been threatening, you know, look, if no one else will stand up, I'll do it. And so they're like, please, someone stand up. Please, 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 someone stand up.
Well, and it's interesting you bring Palin up, because we all know that Palin, unlike Spider-Man the musical, will not be running next year. She's never going to run. She's still taking her Fox News salary, and she likes working for the lamestream media, so we know she's not going to run. But Sarah Palin was on Fox this week, this may shock you, and she referred to Herman Cain as Herb three times.
Herb Cain.
Not once.
In the San Francisco Chronicle.
Right. Absolutely.
Exactly, the late columnist who spelled it C-A-E-N. So Sarah Palin did this three times, okay? So it wasn't a mistake, and no one calls him Herb. I've never heard him called Herb by anybody. So Sarah Palin does this, and she's raising money for a PAC, by the way. Mozart died in poverty, but Sarah Palin does this. And Herman Cain has really, really come to the front of the pack this week. I don't think he has a shot at the nomination. And we all know that these straw polls are, you know, pretty crooked to begin with. I mean, you got to buy to get it. You have to buy to vote in the actual poll. But the media is having a very brief flirtation with taking Herman Cain seriously. Tina, what's this about?
You know, this is Republicans who hate all politicians, and he is not. He's never been in office. He's never been elected to office. And that's, you know, and he's a CEO, and that's, you know, and he's not Romney. You know, and he can sing gospel tunes.
That and the free twisty bread.
You know, I mean, but like remember the media took Michelle Bachmann as a real threat for 3 seconds. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, she was on the cover of Newsweek looking weird, and you know, and accusing Newsweek of making her look crazy by just a photograph. When video is really where she comes out with the cuckoo.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I mean, they have to do it. You know, I mean, he won the straw poll. It's kind of a non-story for Romney to win the straw poll in Michigan. It's kind of a non-story for Rick Santorum to win the straw poll in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But you know, they gotta do something.
You're exactly right. Well, listen, thank you so very much, Tina Dupuy. Everyone go to Crooks and Liars, because Tina's super foxy and she's smart as a whip. And
oh,
we'll
can
be taking
I make a plug for pizzas for the protesters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go to our site. We're buying a bunch of pizzas for protesters. If you want to contribute, you know, buy a slice, go to Crooks and Liars. We have a PayPal account set up to buy everybody.
As long as it's not Godfather's pizza.
Yeah, no Godfather's pizza.
No, it should be Godfather's pizza. Are you kidding?
Out of it, Rick.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm Herb Cain, and I'm Abel. Hey,
Cain is Abel, and we're the Stephanie Miller Show, taking your calls right after this.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, broadcasting to you this morning from Seattle's Progressive Talk. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph, and we're in Seattle because the big comedy tour, the only progressive comedy tour that matters, is playing the Moore Theater in Seattle this weekend, along with me, Stephanie Miller, and Hal Sparks. We'll be doing all of our acoustic gems. I'm actually playing this right now.
Sure, you are. Nice work.
Thank you very much.
Well,
thank
Crazy
you.
On You has a really nice long acoustic intro, doesn't it?
Well, that's right, because Heart is a Seattle group, right?
Yes. See what I'm doing here?
I'm
working
impressed.
With
you. All right, we're going to keep on playing this until the actual wearing comes through here. Until Mrs. Cameron Crowe begins, the ex-Mrs. Cameron Crowe begins rocking out. Speaking of Seattle.
There you go.
There we go. Thank you, Chris. That's Heart. That makes me want to go get a compressed a compression lens for my music video.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? Stop it now. We are joined by Harris Zafar. He's the official Muslim pal of the Stephanie Miller Show. He serves as national spokesperson for the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community USA, which is the oldest Muslim organization in America. And Harris, welcome, and thank you for bringing your own version of Sharia law back to our show.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and welcome to the Northwest. It feels good to be in the same area as you.
Thank you. It feels very good. I feel close to you, Harris. Can I get in trouble if I make a homoerotic hitting on you joke? Is that going to break any kind of...
Oh, yeah, you will be punished by execution.
Okay, thank you. I know, that's kind of like a sub-jihad I'll get right there. Well, I'm just feeling a little infidelity. Harris, I'm so glad you could call in this morning, because I wanted to find out how you're doing and how you're feeling about the resurgence of Herman Cain as a Muslim, but also about the movement that you've been undertaking for the past month in honor of the anniversary of September 11th.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll start there, because I think that's more important than Herman Cain. But as I mentioned before, you know, for the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, we wanted to do something extraordinary to honor the lives that were lost 10 years ago. So we launched what we called Muslims for Life, and it was to show the Muslims stand up for the sanctity of human life. So we decided we're going to save 30,000 lives this year, 10 times the many that were lost 10 years ago, by collecting 10,000 bags of blood through blood drives for the hospitals, Red Cross, and all the other blood centers. So we set on this goal for the month of September. We still have about 70 or so blood drives that have not been recorded yet. We're waiting for the reports, but already we've hit our target. We're at 10,300 bags of blood already for the month of September, and I think we have about 70 more. So we're hoping to hit maybe 11 or 12,000 bags of blood. So very grateful to all the Americans that supported us to show that, hey, on this 10-year anniversary of 9/11, it wasn't just a one-day event. An entire month we dedicated to shedding our blood to saving lives.
That's amazing. And you've gotten a lot of support from our Christian and Jewish brothers as well, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Many churches allowed us to use their facility for the blood drives. We've had members in the Jewish community who donated blood even on Saturdays, even though it's Shabbat for them, but they even came when
wow.
blood drives.
Wow.
So, so it has been an incredible support. And we actually have one here locally in Portland tomorrow, incidentally, in which we actually do have members of the Jewish community. Tomorrow's Shabbat, and they'll be donating as well. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful show of support.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I always say that you know, when our liberal friends want to trash all religion and say religion's responsible for all the rape and violence and war, I'm like, no, it's conservative fundamentalist religion. The overwhelming majority of Christians, Jews, and Muslims are sane, moderate, and get along just fine. And I'm so grateful to you for proving this.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, that's why this is so important for us to have these conversations, because, yeah, there are those that are trying to create those wedges of discord and misunderstanding between people of different faiths and saying, don't trust the other, they're the bad ones, we're the right ones.
No, they're not. Why do you hate freedom, Harris?
And so, yeah, it's just there's so many people that say these type of things that, you know, we need more voices of reason to say, hey, we don't have to hate each other. If you hate someone, hate them for a good reason, like when you hate Michelle Bachmann. But not
we don't. We love Michelle Bachmann. We're comedians, Harris. You're kidding? We want her to get the nomination.
That's true.
I consider voting for the woman. My goodness, I don't hate her at all. she's putting food on the table for me. I love her. Well, I do have to ask you about Herman Cain, just because Herman Cain is probably the most, would you guys in the studio agree, he's probably the most prominent Islamophobe in the campaign. He said he would not appoint Muslims to his cabinet. Then
yeah.
he lied and said he never said that.
Right.
More importantly, he said he feels the community should have the right to stop mosques from being built in their neighborhoods because that religious freedom thing only applies for some people.
First Amendment would take issue with that, I think.
Yeah, the Establishment Clause is definitely against what he's saying. And so that's the scary thing, is that you have somebody who professes this concept of Islamophobia. He actually, he did say that he would not allow any Muslim member to be a member of his cabinet unless they took some sort of oath of allegiance to the country. And so you have such a person actually running for the presidency of the United States, and that's such an unsettling concept. And even Michelle Bachmann, I mean, even she makes statements like this. So you have people from the Republican side, like Michelle Bachmann, who said that she would do anything in her possible in her power to take Sharia law out of the U.S. And, you know, how did it even enter the U.S.? It's nowhere in the U.S. This whole fear of Sharia creeping into the U.S. is so unfounded and it's ridiculous.
And if you ban Sharia law, then you also have to ban the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And most of the Old Testament.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. And this is what Herman Cain said, was that, you know, Sharia law, the Muslims are governed by a system of laws. You guys are the people who want to put the Ten Commandments up in courthouses.
Exactly.
Which says, thou shalt not kill. That'll get in the way of your beloved death penalty.
That's a good point. And if you go into the Supreme Court chamber right now, you'll find the Ten Commandments hanging there.
Yep.
As well as a statue of the Prophet Muhammad, which is interesting as well. So, I mean, the reason I bring that up is because O'Reilly, in his interview with Sarah Palin, said, yes, we are a Christian nation, because go into the Supreme Court, and that's what you see, the Ten Commandments. So we're clearly a Christian nation. And
exactly.
So then how do you explain that, why Prophet Muhammad's statue is sitting there as well then?
Uh-huh.
The whole thing sucks! Do it live!
Well, it's really very true. Now Herman Cain has gotten, you know, a bit of traction this week. I think it's mainly because the GOP is just dismayed at what they've gotten there. You know, maybe they'll start liking Huntsman in 2 weeks. But do you feel satisfied that Herman Cain has tried to make amends with the Muslim community?
I mean, I think he has to, so I understand why he's doing that. Now, whether it's a political move or a personal, I don't know, but I mean, we've seen him, you know, apologizing or trying to make amends now, with the Muslim community. I think it's great. I think we're all entitled to make mistakes, and once we see the gravity of the mistake, I think that, you know, it takes a big person to say, okay, I was wrong, I'm sorry.
And in fairness to Chris Christie, he's been the one guy in the entire GOP who's had the manhood to sit up there and say that this Sharia law rap is crap.
Uh-huh.
So much respect to him. Harris, how can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, Harris_Zafar, or come to our website, MuslimsForLife.org or MuslimsForPeace.org, and would love to work with all of you going forward.
We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is John Fuglesang filling in for Stephanie, and I'm looking here on Twitter, and I saw that Anwar Al-Awlaki is trending, and that's awesome, because that guy owes me $20, so maybe I can finally find him now.
You got him.
What's so funny? What? Oh, right, sorry, right, because
we killed him.
We killed him without any due process, and he's
Yay!
Never actually been connected to a single killing of anybody.
Great.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's
but
the Stephanie Miller
Muslim.
Show.
You're never
going to
see that
yeah.
money.
Exactly. Hey, here's some Muslimy story, though, that I think we can all agree on that I actually got from Drudge, which, you know, even liberals, y'all should go to Drudge every day mm-hmm. because aside from having a lot of great progressive articles on Drudge, if you go to Drudge, it's still 1994. Like, time hasn't evolved. It's the
yeah.
same fonts. But both Obama and John Boehner have joined together to condemn Iran's plan to execute a Christian pastor for failing and refusing to renounce Christianity and rejoin Islam. Pastor Yusuf Nardakani is a Christian pastor, and the government of Iran has announced that they are going to kill him if he does not convert to Islam. So this is what we talk about when we talk about fundamentalist religion, okay? Because fundamentalists don't think they're better than you. They think God thinks they're better than you. And in every religion, the problems are all caused by the far right-wing fundamentalists. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting seeing our conservatives standing up against Iran's conservatives, because they're the ones causing all the problems, folks. The more to the right you are, the more you're making problems for other people. That simple.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find that on usatoday.com or go to Drudge and enjoy the font.
Well, it's drudgereport.com. If you go to Drudge, that is the Drudge retort.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I actually prefer the Drudge retort.
Yes,
to tell you the
I think
truth.
We all do.
I do prefer the Drudge retort. So so go to that one. But Drudge Report, it's still the 90s. So
yeah.
Enjoy. So we do have some calls still on the line. Who do we have? Is Tom there still?
Yeah, Tom in Los Angeles. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good morning, John. John, the one area I think that all Americans can agree on is to getmoneyout.com. Which is a constitutional amendment to get all the money out of politics. So everyone go to getmoneyout.com. And also, I think that goes right along with the Occupy Wall Street, which we will have OccupyLosAngeles.org if you go there. We're also meeting there. But getmoneyout.com, because that's the problem. Our whole system is money and politics.
Now, let me ask you, I've heard of this movement before, and I've seen the petition. Really, you know, you're going to come up with a free speech argument against that. I think that you and I would all support a public financing of all elections. To me, that seems like, you know, a sensible way we can bring conservatives over to our side and say that if all elections are publicly financed and candidates have the same money, they've got to do a lot of debating and let the issues rule. In the meantime, you're going to have money equaling speech. How do you hope to ever get the money out of politics?
But hold on, because that is what the constitutional amendment says as well, as public financing of campaigns. It says absolutely nobody, not even giving money to yourself, can you do. There's been almost 70,000 signatures in 3 days, or two, this is the third day. It's Dylan Radigan and Jimmy Williams on the Dylan Radigan show that mm-hmm. started this, and it's just kind of a start of a conversation. I know we have moved to amend.org out there as well. But I think that get money out, every person, whether you're on the left, the middle, the right, can understand that concept that we get money out. So therefore, at least we can start the conversation, which a lot of people are not having right now. And they know something's wrong with the system, but they're just
yeah.
not sure what it is, like you said.
Right.
And it's all about the money and politics. And it's all about talking about Citizens United, which people don't talk about. But mm-hmm. if we get to getmoneyout.com, it'll start the conversation so we can move this thing forward.
I can't argue with that, Tom. I thank you for the call. You guys agree? I mean, at least, you know, check out the site. Check out getmoneyout.com. I don't know. I mean, the argument you're going to get is that this is speech. Money is speech. Corporations are people that have more speech than normal people and don't
yes.
have to pay the IRS people.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm not. I'm clip art.
Unless you amend the Constitution, you're not going to get the money out of politics.
I don't see how it could ever happen.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, the only hope we have is Barack Obama raising a lot more money than Rick Perry or Mitt Romney this year as well. You know, it's you're never going to get rid of it. I mean, I don't know how you'd ever get public financing of elections to pass. Maybe you could in the state level. And maybe state by states could do it. We're already seeing public options beginning to crop up in places like Montana. So it's possible that on a state level you could do it, but I don't know how we're ever going to get big money out of politics. And this is why empires collapse, folks. It's all human greed. It's the same thing, and it's hurting us the way it's hurt other empires in the past.
Love of money is the root of all evil.
You should write that down. That's pretty
catchy. Yes. Yeah. Somebody should write that down.
Dude, you should tweet that. That's really cool.
Okay, let's go to Cindy in Michigan. Hey, Cindy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, John, Chris,
hi,
everybody. You know, the only thing that I'm concerned with the Wall Street protest is that it's going to start to get grabbed by the Republicans as anti-Obama. The protests that happened right after the bailout on Wall Street and in front of people's houses, you know, in AIG and places like that in 08 and 09, the Tea Party went into action and kind of co-opted that anger, because then all of a sudden it was Tea Party.
Yeah.
And right about the same time they were trying to enact the stimulus and the Republicans were trying to slow down the process of getting that stimulus out the door, the stimulus didn't even get out the door until March or April. And so that whole first quarter, we lost even more jobs. So
you're
what
right.
I would hope that any activists would do when they go to the protests, find a way to get that, you know, that bikini jobs chart that shows that V line straight down through Bush and as it came back up through Obama, and how impossible it would have been to get from that lowest point to the highest point within a quarter or even a year. I know people feel it, but I think they have to see it, and we're not seeing it. But I'm afraid that what's going to happen is just what happened. It's the Obama bailout. You heard the Tea Party people say that, and gee whiz, what a surprise that millions of dollars of manipulation can sway the public.
Exactly. Now, in fairness, President-elect Obama did support the bailout, but it was Bush's bailout of the guys who ripped us off.
Right, and at the time, even I supported the bailout, because what was the alternative? Totally let it crash even further and take that V-line even further down? There was something that needed to happen, but what we didn't realize was that in the bailout money was nothing on the other side that said, okay, here's the conditions. You guys can't take these bonuses you're getting ready to do. I mean, it was just thrown at us as, if we don't get this done, those job losses are going to go down even more. The credit market was drying up, but it had been drying up for months, and nobody had said anything. GM, in August of 08, was running on a cash basis, and that never hit the news until maybe a couple of weeks before the bailout happened. So, I mean, a huge company like that is having to run on a cash basis because the credit market was drying up because they weren't able to get credit. And I know earlier this morning you mentioned, I think Chris might have mentioned that This American Life did a great
derivatives
portrait of it. And they talked about how that credit market was drying up all along the way. But my biggest point is, I'm just concerned that what's happening on Wall Street right now, that the Republicans, like using someone like Chris Christie, who has a very appealing kind of, even though larger than life, that he's like them, that there are enough independents and even Democrats to go, hey, I like that guy, I like his style.
Yeah.
And that gets us in trouble every time.
Well, sure, because he's Lonesome Rhodes. He's Andy Griffith facing the crowd. He's the plain talking man of the people who happens to have an agenda that doesn't help the man of the people. And, you know, he's exactly what Democrats need. I mean, if, you know, and believe me, folks, if Chris Christie was a Democrat, oh, my God, the fat jokes we'd have to hear.
Oh, yeah.
You have no idea how polite liberals really are.
Even Rush Limbaugh would make fat jokes.
Oh, yeah. Rush Limbaugh would make fat jokes. Rush Limbaugh calls other
Michelle
people.
Obama.
Yeah, he calls her fat, which is like calling her a drug-addicted bigot. But I thank you for the call, Cindy. She's exactly right. You know, Franklin Roosevelt said it. The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the government has controlled the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. Franklin Roosevelt said it. And he's right. I mean, money runs democracy. Money runs politics. And that's why we're inspired by Occupy Wall Street, because whatever it takes to wake people up out of the matrix.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself. And I myself am scared poopless.
I know. I wish FDR was here tweeting today. Let's go to, is Lavender Pitt still on hold?
No, Lavender Pitt is not there, but we have Denise in St. Paul. Hey, Denise, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi. I saw you in Madison and Minneapolis, and I even have my tickets for Minneapolis next spring. So.
No way. What a you're, yeah. Are you Catholic? You're quite a masochist. My God, you really want to punish yourself that much? How did you like the shows in how did you like the shows in Madison and Minneapolis?
Awesome. They were very awesome. It was cool to see the progression from a couple months or a month or so after you'd been doing it a little bit to be in Minneapolis. It was very neat.
Yes, I agree with that, actually. It's very exciting how this tour has grown and evolved and how the format is has changed as it's gone on, too.
Yeah, I was calling because I really do think it's true that the Wall Street folks do need a meme. They need to create something that kind of captures the collective consciousness. And I don't think party is the right word because of, well, what the previous caller just said and taking things away from Obama. But I think they should all pull out their, open up their pockets and be the empty pockets party.
How would that work exactly? How would
yeah,
that work?
They all have to have pockets. You know how people empty up, open up their pockets so that they can say, you know, Wall Street has all the money and we've got none.
Well, that's a pretty sexy message, you know. I can see.
Have pockets, so,
yeah, let's join the broke sad sack party. Okay, right on. I thank you for the call. We'll be taking your more of your calls coming here live from Seattle on the Stephanie Miller Show. We're at 1-800-STEPH-12.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show with the All Grunge Edition coming to you live from Seattle, where we're broadcasting from Progressive Talk AM 1090. And when I leave here, I go to my job doing voiceover for monster truck rallies.
This is John Fugelsang filling in for Steph. In spite of all your letters and demands, and in spite of a hunger strike by Bishop Desmond Tutu, she's let me back into the studio.
Well, that's because you got to Seattle first.
I know, right? Well, this is how it is. I get sent out. I'm sort of like the guy on point, like when the platoon is marching, you got to have that, you know, that Star Trek red shirt in the very front for landmines. They send me in. So I'm here as the Star Trek red shirt. Tom Rhodes will be joining us in studio shortly. We're joined by the great Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and Emmy Award winner Rick Overton in the L.A. studio. And TV's Frank Conniff will be calling in with some deeply offensive, inappropriate Chris Christie material later in the broadcast. And we're thrilled to have you here. We're doing the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour in Seattle at the Moore Theater tonight at 8 p.m. and tomorrow night. Tomorrow's sold out. There are some special nosebleed discount seats they just put on sale. Tonight there are some good seats still available, so come on down because it's going to be packed by the time we launch this thing. And my God, can I just say, the people in Seattle are so attractive. If you want a reason to come to the show, you're going to be around progressive people who are smart, moral, and look really good in autumn tones. So really, get on over here. Am I right, Rick? Are liberals more attractive, Rick?
They can be, and I think they got to work on that sometimes. I remember back in the 60s, sometimes they got that, you know, too many cats keep the hell away kind of routine going. But they turn bitter, and that's why there's 19 of us, you know? And they were more fun than when they weren't uber-literate blocks of asexual ice, you know? Like,
that was my old band name. Was
yeah, that's it. They used to be, like, there was so many liberals back in the 60s because there was a major sexuality factor in there when they were still thinking in terms of freeing that part up. And now that it's the chase away, don't touch, keep away, leave me alone, it makes it rough to draw new customers.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, we just saw Chris and I were just looking at this piece that showed that over 88% of evangelicals have had sex before marriage, which means that,
well,
you know,
all the freaks are on the right now.
Yeah, they're taking over on the freak train, and it's a bit disconcerting to think that we can't, that like the right-wing evangelicals are going to steal sex from us deviant hippies. I don't like the sound of it at all.
No.
By the way, Jesus is the biblical figure who mentioned premarital sex exactly zero times, and all the sex hang-ups came from St. Paul. I do believe Tom Rhodes is about to join us. Is his mic live? Do we have Mr. Rhodes? Tom?
Hey, what's up, Johnny?
Please welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show the great Tom Rhodes joining us. here in Seattle.
What's up, handsome?
Tom, we got Rick Overton and Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie in the L.A. studio. And,
I love those guys.
All my favorite funny guys are here in one place. Welcome. I know you're excited about Herman Cain, Tom. That's
oh, yeah.
Well, you're in an interesting position because, Tom, I always loved watching you on Comedy Central, and then you did something that very few American comics have done. You went overseas to Europe, had a hugely successful talk show, and became a huge American star over for European audiences. So I'm very curious what your point of view is on how the Europeans are viewing us right now. They still like Obama, right?
No, I don't think so. I think people are kind of surprised that things haven't turned around. But
really?
I lived in Holland. I lived in Amsterdam for 5 years. And I'm from a very Christian, right-wing, Republican family.
Indeed.
And the thing that I keep trying to explain to them, like in Holland, they've got like 16 different political parties. Mm-hmm. And they've got like five different flavors of Christian parties.
Right.
There's like the Christian right, there's the Christian left party, and then there's the Christian green left.
Right.
Like we're
left-wing Christians. Which is what I'm trying to start here.
But we're, you know, environmentalists.
Right.
And my family can't wrap their head around that concept.
A coalition government.
That there could be, a, like, you know, a liberal kind of flavor of Christianity.
Well, this is the argument that I used to have with my dad all the time, because not about liberal Christianity. Jesus is the biggest liberal in the history of liberals. And even if you don't believe in him, in the history of literature, he's the biggest lefty of all time. But my dad would always say, oh, coalition government doesn't work. Look at Italy. You can't have third parties in this country. Our first third-party president got in the White House with 38% of the vote, and he was a Republican. And he got in with 38%, and it was Lincoln. And to me, that gives me a lot of hope, because even if a third party just made the Democrats have a reminder of who they really are or who they're supposed to be. But you would agree, though, Tom, that even though the bloom is off the rose and a lot of folks are disappointed with Obama, the fact is I'm sure our European friends are more terrified of a Rick Perry presidency.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they're, you know, they knew that our time would pass, that we wouldn't be smart and, you know, cool too long.
Right. Well, it was beautiful for a while. I mean, I think we're all comedians. We all strongly endorse a Rick Perry presidency. Am I correct, gentlemen? Rick?
Sure.
Yeah. At least a nomination.
A nomination. Okay. But not a Rick Perry president. What if it was?
Hey, I wouldn't mandatory vaccines.
I'll lose the jokes to not live in hell. Yeah. I'll toss the 15 minutes to not live in boiling oil hell.
What if it's Perry Bachman? You wouldn't vote for that as a comic? Come on. You could buy a boat if that was.
You'd need a boat.
I'd want someone with the launch codes to be talking about the final days.
In the final days.
I'd be reviewing my act as the missiles a launch gun. I don't know if the jokes were worth Armageddon here. I didn't think this one out.
Armageddon tired of Rick Perry.
Or as George Bush called it, Armageddon.
Armageddon. Sounds like a Japanese dinosaur.
Are we going to show Armageddon in the screening room tonight? I'd love to see Armageddon again.
I like Armageddon better than their Megadon.
We're joined by Tom Rhodes. Tom, you're going to stay with us for the rest of the hour?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-STEF-12.
Blossoming new comedian,
Stephanie Miller.
Don't blow it. Your material's as tired as your face.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you live from Seattle, Progressive Talk. I'm Jeff Fugelsack, filling in for... Why are we playing Hootie and the Blowfish?
I don't know.
Why are we doing this? Hootie and the Blowfish, that's the anti-Hendrix. We've been playing Nirvana and Pearl Jam all day. And now, from the Hendrix to Hootie and the Blowfish, something for each hemisphere of the brain. I got nothing against Hootie, although that song they got in trouble for plagiarizing Bob Dylan lyrics. Because I had to work with those guys when I was a DJ, so I met all those guys. They're very nice. Strictly a jest. We're joined on the Stephanie Miller Show by Jim Ward and Rick Overton with Chris Lavoie in L.A., and I'm here in Seattle with the great Tom Rhodes, who I'm so thrilled to have here. You know, Tom, I got a tweet from a guy named David Bonello who said, "Say hi to Rhodes for me. I flew with his father in Vietnam."
Oh, wow.
One of the best things I've ever seen on Comedy Central was your special you did about you going back to Vietnam to retrace your father's steps as a soldier and serviceman during the war.
Yeah, because, you know, when you think comedy and laughter, you think Vietnam. But no, that was kind of the thing that put me on the map many years ago. I had been doing all these things for Comedy Central. I was their boy, and they let me do whatever I wanted.
That's
I was like a junior
filmmaker. That's when you had your long grunge rocker hair.
Yeah, I had long hair, and now I have a bald spot. Actually, that's not a bald spot. That's an old breakdancing injury. But,
who doesn't have one of those?
Pivot
but
point
yeah,
where?
Yeah, and I went there, and it was really incredible experience. And we did the premiere of Viva Vietnam was in Washington, D.C., and they had all these political Vietnamese diplomats were there and all these former Vietnam veteran political, you know, American people in the same room laughing at my special. And it was really Charlie Chaplin moment to be sitting in the back and listening to these people that were, you know, formerly killing each other laughing at my thing. And then it was a really special thing for my dad. I loved my dad. My dad was just killed by a drunk driver in 2009. But my dad was he was a cool guy. And he fought in Vietnam. And
you want to tell us who the drunk driver was?
The drunk driver worked for the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Oh, whoa! Boy.
And very rich people. The guy ran their Christian amusement park in Nashville. Ugh. And you talk about scumbag Christianity. And they've just delayed processes and things. And
it's the Christian thing to do.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we talk about Christianity a lot, me and Tom. My dad, of course, was a Franciscan brother who wore the brown robes and the rope belt and walked amongst the people like the lost Jedi of Flatbush. And I lost my dad last year, and my dad's, you know, the reason why I'm so into politics, because I sucked at sports and I had to get good at this to try to win his love. But, you know, my father was the one who taught me that Jesus was the greatest liberal of all time. And that's if you believe what's in the Bible, of course. And so, you know, it's not Christian bashing to bash hypocrisy and to bash meanness and cruelty. I'm so sorry for the loss of your dad, and I'm so grateful to your dad for giving us you and your comedy. And I guess I'm grateful for one more reason to hate the Trinity Broadcast Network, because that's a money-making racket to get cash out of scared old people.
Yeah, Matthew warned us about that.
Yeah, in Matthew 6:5 is when Jesus said, don't trust the people who are praying out there in public. They just want to be seen. You want to talk to your father, go in the closet and pray in private. He called him out on it, you know, and it's like Jesus came out against public prayer. And when you think about, you know, would you take a dump on camera? No, it's too personal. But talking to God with an 800 number flashing on your chest isn't? What's wrong with these people? Tom, it is great to have you back, because there's so few great political comics out there. And I wondered if your mom is still very diehard Republican, right?
Yeah, big time. All my family, but my mom especially, she's very staunch.
So how are you guys getting along in this current climate?
Oh, she's great. I mean, you know, family's family, and we get along. But it's always tense around the dinner table when we talk politics. And my mom is actually very flabbergasted with the Republican choices right now, and she couldn't have been more peeved at the Ponzi scheme. She liked Rick Perry until he said the Ponzi, because Social Security is all she has.
Yeah.
She's retired, and she's in Florida.
And a veteran's wife.
Yeah. And
to hear that, exactly. And whereas, as I think it was Tom Schaefer who pointed out that Rick Perry's hair is a Ponzi scheme. I do want to take a quick call, because we're joined for a very brief moment by TV's Frank Conniff. And Frank, I understand that you have some thoughts on Chris Christie, who is the savior. Because would you believe, Frank, that some people actually make jokes about Chris Christie's weight?
Oh, that's just irresponsible. I mean, he did come out in favor of collective barbecuing.
Did he really?
And he does support the Defense of Marinara Act. He is a large man.
He's just a large guy, right? It's not being mean.
Yeah, he changed the name of New Jersey to the Olive Garden State. So
I did not know that.
And, you know, for him, the 3 a.m. phone call is him calling Domino's. So,
you go now!
Frank, you're
as long as he doesn't try to dock in Lakehurst, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going to get in so much trouble.
He's considering himself as his own running mate. That's how large he is.
It's,
oh, the humanity!
I got in trouble this morning because I said that Republican voters are leaning towards Chris Christie, but only because he has his own gravitational field.
Right.
It's not funny, folks. Go ahead, Frank.
It's also, you know, on a more serious note, I mean, he honors the memory of 9/11 by keeping his weight at 911 pounds.
Oh.
Very strange.
Christy Kreme.
But I'll tell you something, folks. When Chris Christie sits around the house, he really passes laws that hurt working people.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's why he doesn't want people doing weight jokes. They're all good.
Frank, where are you? You're in Michigan? Are you calling us from Michigan?
No, I'm in Minneapolis. I'm performing at the Acme Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night with Emo Phillips. And
wow.
Having a really good time doing that. And also, I'm touring around the country with Cinematic Titanic, which we're going to be in Elgin, Illinois in a couple weeks, and then Washington, D.C. So if people go to cinematictitanic.com, they can find out about it, which is, people don't know, is a live version of Mystery Science Theater. So I hope people will come and check that out.
And it's all the guys from Mystery Science Theater, right? All back together.
Yeah, the original cast, all back together, riffing on movies. Kind of the cinematic equivalent of the Republican lineup of candidates.
Well,
that bad.
We're here with Tom Rhodes in studio. We've been talking about the GOP field because really it's giving comedians an oasis after 2 years of having a non buffoon in the White House. Do you have any thoughts on the current state, Frank?
Well, now it's like we had one buffoon in the White House. Now it's kind of like the Justice League of buffoons. You know, it's kind of like all of them. It's like an all-star. All-star lineup of, I know that Herman Cain just said that that blacks are being brainwashed.
Yes,
he said that, right?
Yeah,
and,
he did. To vote for Democrats.
All of his Tea Party followers who have been programmed to believe everything he says totally agreed with that about the brainwashing.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, Tom, if you had to guess right now, who would you say is the most likely to get the nomination?
Oh God, I don't think any of them. It's great. I think Obama's in good shape if this is what they are putting up against him. And I just want to say, I love Elvis Presley, and I know more about Elvis Presley than I do the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of Elvis's life, he used to like to take uppers and downers, and he would eat cheeseburgers, and he would wash them down with vanilla milkshake.
This is true.
And the high with the drugs and the meat and the sugar, he would pass out. And there was a guy that worked for Elvis, and it was his job after he passed out go in
Dr. Nick.
And dig out the cheeseburger chunks from Elvis's mouth.
Not true.
So that he would not choke while he was sleeping. And when I think of that guy, I think of Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama was basically the guy that was hired to dig out the cheeseburger chunks from Elvis's mouth. So it's not really his fault if the fat guy dies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we've just lost the...
I love hearing Rick Overton laugh.
We've lost the entire glutton demographic. Yes, you know, Rick Overton, by the way, is Butthead's father.
Oh, man. I tried to hold it back. It's just pay the price. Oh,
Frank, do you have a pick for your favorite GOP candidate?
Oh, I mean, it's like picking your favorite Beatle, you know. I mean, they're all, you know, they're all so great. I actually refer to the entire Republican presidential lineup as the committee to reelect Obama.
That's what I call them too. Yeah, or they're a reality show called Trickle Down Idol.
And you know, and I know a lot of us on the left have some problems with Obama, but I don't know if you saw Obama's new campaign slogan. It's Barack Obama. Come on, you're going to vote for me anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And I mean, one of the things that I have a fight with, and I love Stephanie Miller. She's my goddess. I aspire to be her love
slave. Not good enough. You're a naysayer.
Exactly, because Jim and I and Chris have this problem all the time, where if you ever have a critique of any Bush policies that Obama's agreed to continue, you hate Obama and want Rick Perry to be president. And so we have this fight all the time on the show where I say, hey, man, this is the left. We're the ones who are capable of mentally walking and chewing gum at the same time.
Right.
We can hold Obama's feet to the fire on issues he ran on. He went to Netroots Nation and asked us to keep on his case. We can critique the president because we want him to have a second term, not because we hate him or don't like his agenda.
Mm.
And you never heard criticisms of Bush during his administrations from conservatives the way you hear criticisms of Obama now from people on the left. You know,
but that's why progress takes so long. The status quo is always circling the wagons. It just that's the nature of evolution and progress.
Yeah, and, you know, so people on the left, I feel, are willing to actually look at what the reality of something is and then base their opinion on it rather than just I blindly follow you wherever you go and whatever you say.
Right. And now, Jim Ward, I know that you're personally rooting for Mitt Romney because you have the impression.
Well, he's human clip art. I've decided he's Bob from the what was that, the Texas phony church thing? He's the guy with the pipe. It's like 50s clip art.
That's
yes.
No,
that's
Bob.
Yes.
Bob in the church of this. Bob.
Yeah, that's Mitt Romney. It's tailor-made for.
By the way, every time John Huntsman tries to go after Mitt Romney, we are allowed to yell "Mormon fight" and have a drink during the debate. It's one of the most fun parts of these debates. I think that, you know, we get the money out of politics and let them have debates for the GOP every week for the next year, and then have Obama debate the nominee once a week, and they don't get to spend any money. We just have to watch and get the issue shoved down our throat.
I think they should both wear the Mormon underwear when they're debating each other.
Yeah, it's magic underwear because it hides the smell of BS.
They should wear it outside.
Yes, exactly.
Do you really think that the GOP, as much as they hate Obama, and Tom, let me know if you think this, do you really think that they're so bigoted against Mormons they wouldn't vote for a Mormon over Barack Obama?
Probably, yeah.
Really? I can't believe it. Everyone's saying, oh, they'll never vote for a... I mean, these guys, they're conditioned to hate Obama. He's a Kenyan socialist.
Right, but remember, it was a problem that Kennedy was Catholic. People thought that he wouldn't, you know, the ball wouldn't go over the upright.
Of course, although... but of course, Kennedy made it thanks, of course, to Sinatra getting the mob to deliver Chicago. Anyway, Frank Conniff, thank you so much. Cinematic Titanic, and you're playing with Emo Phillips this weekend, and... we'll be back in a few minutes at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Awesome. This is a disgusting display.
Oh, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, and that's Foo Fighters, their first ever hit.
That's better than Hootie.
Uh-huh, and we are coming to you from Seattle, hence the Foo Fighters and all the Nirvana and Hendrix, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour with myself and Hal Sparks opens tonight in Seattle at the Moore Theater. Some seats
is Hal still
available.
Wearing the tight, skinny, black
rocker
midlife
clothes,
crisis
man.
Pants?
I wouldn't call it that. He looks much better in those pants than I couldn't pull those pants off, but I wouldn't want to pull those pants off.
I love Hal. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy, and Hal's stuff is so brilliant. I mean, it's so fun for me to be able to do like a really smart, funny, political, goofy set with people like Hal and Stephanie, who are both smarter and funnier than me, and for crowds that just get it. I mean, I got to say that the Sexy Liberal refers to our audience because these are the best crowds I've ever played to. These audiences and military audiences are the two best sets of people I've ever played to in my life, and it's really, really just a thrill to be doing it. And, you know, we've been on the air all day. I'm here with the great Tom Rhodes here with me in Seattle, and of course in L.A., Jim Ward and Rick Overton. The talent is just, I know we've choked on talent today. There have been too many voices.
This is a hell of a
air.
Show.
I know. Frank Conniff and like 19 people on the air at once. It's a clown car of comedy. I know. I won't overbook this much next time, but I had too many cool people I wanted to get on the air. And we're talking about, of course, we've been talking about the Occupy Wall Street protests all day. Have you been following this at all, Tom?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's really amazing. Maria is on the phone from Chicago to talk about that. Are you there, Maria?
I am indeed, gentlemen. How do you all do?
Good morning. Finally, some estrogen in this thing.
I was going to say, what is going on over there? Hey, have you guys...
We are Sparta!
Have you guys seen the video of that was taken from protesters filming these bankers leaning over on the balcony drinking champagne in front of the protesters?
Yes, drinking champagne, wow. Looking down on the commoners and
the malefactors of great wealth.
It's so vile. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. They're so brazen and just so obnoxious about it. I mean, do they think that this is going to last forever for them, that they're just always completely going to be protected?
Yes.
No, the ones that are allowed out on the balcony don't realize all they are is next. You know, you don't see the ones that are really responsible for everything. All the ones that think they're invited to the 2012, you know, Tibetan Ark when the flood hits. They're, they're going to be the ones falling off the ledge there because the ramp gets pulled up before they get on, you know.
Well, yeah. They can get squished by by the ramp again if it falls back down. That would just be outstanding.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, in 50 years, they're going to be food if things don't change soon. So yeah. Keep that in mind. They will be eaten by the riffraff and the rabble-rousers.
Silent greatest people!
They're up there talking in their Thurston Howell voices.
Ooh, good heavens.
Oh,
yeah. If they're on the lower floor, they don't matter.
Right.
Is Chicago following Occupy Wall Street, Maria?
Oh, she's gone. She's gone.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Thank you very much, Maria. You're super foxy. Thanks for calling up.
Yeah.
But it's been very inspiring watching it, Tom. I was down there a couple of days ago.
Did you get pepper sprayed?
I did not get pepper sprayed. I went there just for the mace. And that's the only way I can get on camera these days. My agent said, yeah, you want to get on camera? Go down to Wall Street. Go in there, carry a sign, and get some guy to spray you with some pepper spray in the face. You'll get a lot of... You'll be all over YouTube, man. A million hits. Come
Jerry
on.
Jerry Seinfeld is your agent?
You're pushing. Yes. You're pushing cops.
I want to be a star.
Every time I do my impression, my manager, he says, I don't talk that way. That's Seinfeld. I don't talk like that. My manager actually got to start managing Jesus. Why are you talking about love all the time, man? Go out there and do some magic tricks. Heal a leper.
Listen to the peacemakers. About... What are you, high?
You want to talk about being a peacemaker? Great, Jesus. Do that. You'll have a nice little show on NPR. We'll be really proud of it. 12 people will listen, okay? You go ahead and do that. We're going to make some money, Jesus.
I mean, Jesus.
Well, we do thank you for the call, Maria. Tom, you're the competition this weekend, so I got to let you give a plug for where you're playing here in Seattle.
Oh, I'm at Laughs in Kirkland. Plenty of parking. So, those of you that don't want to be bothered with the city and, you know, congestion, come out to Kirkland. No, it's actually an awesome club. They have a continuous good lineup.
That's great. I think you and me and Rick Overshin should do a tour.
Amen,
sometime.
Brother.
I'm going out and saying that.
Will you get Jerry Seinfeld to book that?
I'll ask Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, well, my manager feels 10% of my anguish, so I'll try that. But I think you, me, and Rick Overshin should go on the road sometime. Jim, are you playing anywhere this weekend?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I actually just, our band played last night in North Hollywood.
Yeah? Were you on harp?
Yes. Harp and backing vocals.
Super cool.
No guitar this time.
I still live in hope of getting Jim Ward to doing more stand-up.
I know. I got to get back into that.
Very funny. Mr. Overton, where can people see you?
They can see me walking up and down Ventura for my health.
By the way, Rick, I want to tell you, I just watched The Informant again, and, I mean, that's Matt Damon's best performance he's ever given in a film, and you steal every scene you're in that movie.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Very kind. Thanks, fantastic man. But you stole the movie we did in
The movie in Seattle that's never going to be released? Yes, that's what I do. I'm the master of films and pilots that never get seen by people.
I'm just impressed that Rick was in Young Doctors in Love. I mean, that was a big part of my... growing up years.
And, you know, Keith Olbermann.
I got to get some new credits, is what I'm thinking.
Rick and Keith Olbermann gave you a name check this week. You know that?
I heard that. Yeah, I dropped him a little note back. I referred to myself as Bachman Turner Overton.
Keith showed a clip of Rick's scene with Bill Murray in the car from Groundhog Day and mentioned me by name.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
Rick Overton is an American comedy legend.
Oh.
Did you read the book Comedy at the Edge, or Comedy on the Edge?
Mm-hmm.
It came out like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was all about how comedy transformed America in the 70s.
Yeah.
And Overton is all throughout the book.
Wow.
And I'm reading, oh, my God, I'm friends with this guy. Oh, my God, he's done all this stuff. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, and especially when you watch... When you watch The Aristocrats, which is the best movie about comedy ever made, perhaps, and Rick Overton is like the Obi-Wan of comedy in that film as he's explaining the joke.
These are not the jokes you're looking for.
But it's always an honor. And, you know, every time Steph is drunk enough to let me guest host, it's always a privilege for me because, number one, this is the sexiest, coolest, most moral, progressive, hippest audience in all of radio. I mean, I'm just in love with her listeners. And that's why, you know, we're doing this tour because I just feel like there's such an audience for smart, progressive comedy. But also, for me, I get to invite on the comedians that inspire me, like Tom Rhodes, like Rick Overton, like Frank Conniff and Lee Camp, and as well as Tina Dupuis. So I thank all the guests for today's show. Please go see everyone. Everyone's on Twitter. Everyone's on Facebook. I'm John Fiegel saying come see us in Seattle tonight, and we'll see you next week on The Stephanie Miller Show. God bless you.